This is Judith Lay welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. 2025 marks 80 years since the ending of the Second World War. Victory in Europe was declared on the 8th of May 1945 and on the 15th of August in the same year, following the United States bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki just a few days earlier, Emperor Hirohito announced Japan's acceptance of the terms of the Potsdam Declaration, a statement that called for the surrender of all Japanese armed forces. Whilst the formal surrender of Japan didn't actually take place until the 2nd of September, VJ Day was the effective end of World War II. And the stories and the photographs of the wild and often reckless celebrations that followed are legendary. But it's a very different story that I offer you this morning. Just one of countless stories that cry out, never to be forgotten. Years ago, in August 1945, Elizabeth Hoyt was an 11-year-old girl in a Japanese war camp in China along with her five siblings. They had been behind those walls for 4 years, 1,400 people in a small compound built for 200, living with scant food, freezing winters, and mattresses full of bedbugs. Elizabeth remembers hearing the roar of the American B-29 growing over the camp and begging the exhausted teacher to let them out of the cramped room they called school to go and watch. She agreed, and Elizabeth rushed to see what was happening along with the whole camp. As she stepped outside, she saw a huge American plane and a trail of tiny specks. Then the specks puffed out one by one, and parachutes began floating down. Elizabeth had never seen an aeroplane before, let alone a parachute, and it took her a while to realise that the things dangling down were legs. Seven American paratroopers had come to set them free, fully armed and expecting a battle. Everyone rushed to the gates. The Japanese guards didn't know what to do, and for a moment they could have fired, but they had received no orders, so they laid down their bayonets and stood aside as the crowd swept past them and through the gates. Apparently the guards were due to receive orders to kill everyone if they had to surrender. And in the nearby hills were Chinese guerrilla bands who were planning on capturing the camp and taking everyone hostage in exchange for money. But Elizabeth knew none of that. All she knew was that she was free and beyond those high walls for the first time. Everyone was crying and laughing and hugging and shouting. Her little gang of kids found a small stream nearby. They jumped into the water, screaming and splashing each other in wild abandon. Food, freedom. For her, the war was over. Those were the words of Elizabeth Hoyt, 11 years old on VJ Day, and with her five siblings had spent the previous 4 years living in squalid conditions in a grossly overcrowded Japanese war camp. In adult life, Elizabeth married, became Elizabeth Goldsmith, and had a family. and my thanks to her daughter, Ruth Valerio, for kindly allowing me to share her mother's story. A poignant reminder that the anniversaries this year must surely call us to work in every possible way for enduring peace. And in case you were thinking that the name Ruth Valerio is familiar, well, you're right. Ruth has visited the island several times. She's worked at Tear Fund and for Arusha UK, promoting the protection and restoration of the natural world. At Arusha UK, Ruth spearheaded Eco Church, which equips churches to care for God's world. And we have a number of churches here on the island who already have or are working towards Eco Church awards for their environmental work. Ruth's own Christian faith is central to her life. She loves working across all denominations, but is equally comfortable with those of no faith. She's contributed to this program each time she's been on the island, and if you've heard her, you can't fail but be moved by the intensity of her vision to build a movement that brings about lasting change on the issues that impact the poorest and most vulnerable people, and that creates a flourishing natural world. Currently, Ruth works for Embrace the Middle East, supporting Middle East Christians as they tackle poverty and injustice in vulnerable and marginalized communities. I somehow feel that the same resilience that carried a young child through a Japanese prisoner of war camp is inspiring her daughter to fight not with weapons, but by being a voice for the voiceless in our present time.
Peace that was meant to be.
the boys' choir of Harlem, and Let There Be Peace on Earth. Earlier this week, two people made their first visit to the island to complete a story that we first talked about on this programme back in June, when it was announced that the team of volunteers who run the Big Table, providing a three-course community lunch every Monday with no set charge, were the first recipients of a brand new Cathedral Volunteer of the Year Team Award. The award has been made by the Association of English Cathedrals, and their executive director, Anna Pitt, came to the island and to the Big Table last Monday to actually present the award. Afterwards, I had a chance to chat with Anna and her colleague, Jane Bauer, as they shared their impressions of the Big Table. But first, I was interested to find out more about the work of the Association of English Cathedrals and how the Isle of Man comes to be involved.
The Association is a membership body of cathedrals. Very recently, we've welcomed more than just English cathedrals into our membership. So obviously, we've got the Isle of Man and also a couple of Welsh cathedrals and a Scottish cathedral. The value of the association is in the networking. We can support, we offer training, we can work out and work through what are some of the big issues in the cathedral sector and how can we centrally resource some of those cathedrals.
What we hope that we can achieve with the support project that we run is to tell people the story of the cathedrals and their role in the community that they serve. And that looks very different from city to city, from cathedral to cathedral. Here, the Big Table Cafe feels like it's the perfect place to be in the community it serves. It had a vibrant team of people. One of them had been there at 7 o'clock in the morning peeling potatoes. Somebody else popped in at lunchtime because that was the time he could get out of work to come and help with the washing up. It felt so well-oiled and so smooth, really. Really lovely to see that. We go to another cathedral we have over in Coventry. They came second in the team award. A very much smaller group of people who brought together because they all have a skill, which is restoring furniture. So they're part of a craft project team, but that's a very, very different mission to the Big Table Cafe. But the other element of that which really struck us was the companionship, giving people support. So the people coming in, they weren't just coming in, getting a meal and off they went. They were sharing, they were breaking bread. They had friendships there. And I thought that was really powerful. All our cathedrals are different and they all work in their own context. And that's really, really important. And what the Isle of Man Cathedral does here, and what we've discovered, having been here only for a couple of days, is it's working its own context in a really beautiful way that is meaningful to the people that it serves, the communities, not just those of faith, but those of no faith and all faiths. And that's a really powerful message about the life and ministry of our cathedrals.
Now, coming back to you, Anna, when you were looking at these awards, incidentally, the first time that you have made these awards, you weren't looking at where the work was being done, but looking more at what work was being done. And as Jane touched on there, is it working? Is it serving what the community needs?
We were overwhelmed with the number of nominations that we had for this first year of the awards. Jane and I, with a colleague from Lichfield Cathedral and our sponsor from Newgate Finance, met together at Derby Cathedral, actually, to go through all the nominations. It was incredibly emotional and heartwarming to read through the spectrum of work that volunteers are doing, the hours of work, the hundreds of hours of work that volunteers are giving. We were reading these nominations blind. We'd redacted, so we didn't know which cathedral we were reading about. We didn't read the nomination for the Big Table Cafe and think, that's good work for the Isle of Man. We read the nomination and thought, that's good work for the entire cathedral sector. That's a standout piece of work, and we have to award, and we have to go and see this, and we have to go and meet these people and see what's happening there and see it in action. And I can't tell you how delighted we are that we've flown over and seen that. A group of people who just opens their doors, their arms, their hearts every week. And we felt that, and couldn't have been happier to have been part of that, even just for a day. The one final thing I would want to say is about the quality and the effort. So what struck me wasn't that you can come in here and over there is where you go and get your dinner, and over there just grab your cutlery on the way. This was a please come in and sit down. We've already set the table. There are placemats, there's napkins, there's cutlery is already there, there's glasses, there's a menu, there's salt and pepper. This is like going into a restaurant. People are served at the table. There was just a care and an elevated level of hospitality that was on offer, and the, I have to say, the quality of the food matched the quality of the welcome.
Nobody sat on their own. Many people did come in on their own, but they weren't on their own for long. Somebody always went to sit with them, have a chat to them, and that companionship, that love, that demonstration of Christian love, I thought was really remarkable. There's no pressure on people to give money for the food. It was pay as you can. That's another really beautiful element of the Big Table Cafe.
There is at every place a little brown envelope. So everybody hands in a little brown envelope when they leave. Yeah. They are not obliged to put anything in it. Nobody knows whether there's anything in that envelope or nothing.
Mm. And there's a dignity to that.
Anna, you are a hub for cathedrals, a base for knowledge and for support. Do you have times when you bring representatives from cathedrals together?
Yeah, we absolutely do. We do a lot of opportunities for kind of day conferences. So we did one at the end of last year for cathedral music. What we're working on at the moment is really exciting. So that's our National Cathedral Conference, which will take place in Bristol in May 2026. And we're working on a piece of research at the moment that's looking at the spiritual, social, economic and cultural impact of cathedrals. So at our conference in May in Bristol, we'll be able to launch that piece of research. And what we will end up with there is a report that can inform our national conversations about the place of cathedrals in our society, in our community, the value. But also that report can go to every individual cathedral so that when they're having local conversations about developing partnerships or funding applications, shared projects, they've got a piece of physical evidence that says this is the value that having a cathedral within a community can bring. This is the economic value, or it's the social value, the cultural value. And I know that the Isle of Man is doing at the cathedral, all of that is happening. I've seen spiritual outreach work. I've seen the work that was done with the Moon Project, the Lord's Prayer. I mean, there's so much happening in this cathedral. And actually, next year, the AC will be able to give you a report and you'll have some hard and fast figures that say this is the value of a cathedral in a community. So that's what the AC is looking to do, is to resource all of our cathedrals. It's not an easy job running a cathedral. It really isn't, when you've got the spiritual responsibility and the operational responsibility, there is financial responsibility. And if each cathedral has a toolkit and the AC can put some really good tools in that toolbox to make that job a little bit easier, then that's what we're here for. That's the role of the association. And the conference and the research report that we're working on at the moment will be really incredible tools, we hope.
We look forward to all the benefits that being associated with you in the Association of English Cathedrals will bring to us.
Thank you to Anna Pitt and Jane Bauer of the Association of English Cathedrals, recent visitors to the island, presenting the Team Award for Cathedral Volunteers of the Year to the Big Table team, who will be serving lunch as usual in the Corrin Hall in the grounds of the Cathedral in Peel from noon tomorrow, with, as you've heard, a warm welcome for all.
Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too.
I will hold on.
Great hymn of service, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. And now my thanks to a number of people who've kindly said they enjoy hearing Keystones, recordings made around 40 years ago by former Vicar of Moraun, Reverend David Bush, who visited Ireland churches and chapels, discovering their history in conversation with the people who worship there. Next week, we'll be dipping into the Keystone archive again. But I wonder if you'd like to take a guess at where we'll be going. This is how David introduces it.
Hello and welcome to Keystones. If you walked into one of our island churchyards and read on a gravestone just inside the gate these words, I wonder if you'd know where you were. All you travellers that pass by, as you are now, so once was I. And as I am, soon you shall be. In time, prepare for eternity.
Do you know where David is? Join me at your service next Sunday to find out if you're right and to hear some really fascinating stories about the church. And now let's finish with a look at our notice board. And you'll need to be quick if you want to take your pet to an animal blessing service in Baldrine Methodist Chapel, because it's starting in just about an hour at 11 o'clock this morning. Led by Mrs. Pauline Corlett, there's a warm welcome for all pets and their owners, and there'll be refreshments afterwards. Also today, the Isle of Man Organist Association have another of their special concerts by a visiting musician. It's this afternoon in St George's Church here in central Douglas, and it'll be given by accomplished organist Anita Datta. It starts at 3 o'clock this afternoon and admission is free. On to the week ahead now, and the parish of St George and All Saints have another of their very popular community lunches tomorrow, Monday the 18th. As usual, it'll be in All Saints Hall on Alexander Drive here in Douglas, and very appropriately, the theme is bikers. Lunch will be served tomorrow between noon and 1:30, and the menu is steak and ale pie with carrots and peas, with a vegetarian option available, followed by chocolate ice cream sundae. There's no set charge for the lunch, but donations to help with costs would be much appreciated. Next, we go to St Thomas's Church, also here in Douglas, off the promenade near the Gaiety Theatre. Their summer concert this Wednesday evening will be given by Crosby Silver Band, conducted by Jerry Wordsworth. It starts at 7:45 with free admission, delicious homemade cakes afterwards, and a retiring collection if you'd like to donate. The next simple lunch at the Cool Chapel is this Thursday the 21st from noon until 2 p.m. Lunch is served in the hall opposite the chapel, which is at the crossroads above the Isle of Man Business Park. Homemade soups, desserts and tea and coffee will be available, with a warm welcome for all. On Thursday evening, this week's concert in St Catherine's Church in Port Erin will be given by John and Karen Elliott and friends. It starts at 7:30 with free admission, refreshments afterwards and a retiring collection. Christchurch Laxey's Craft and Coffee Group have been busy all winter making Manx myths and legends, and there's an exhibition of their wonderfully skilled and imaginative work on display in Christchurch in Laxey from this Wednesday, the 20th, for 1 week. The exhibition will be open daily from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and there'll be refreshments too. And Christchurch is very easy to find, right by the train station in the heart of Laxey Village. Practicing for the MGP and Classic TT starts in just a few hours, so here's some information about refreshments. Pam Kinraid and her hard-working team invite you to join them for the famous Bride Church Teas, being served in Bride Parish Church Hall from Friday the 22nd until Monday the 25th of August, open each day from 11 a.m. onwards. All the usual choices of sandwiches, cakes and desserts, as well as homemade soup and a roll. And once again, there'll be race day refreshments in Selby, but in a different place this year. Instead of being served at Selby Bridge, you'll find the team waiting to serve hot and cold food and drinks to eat in or take out just down the road at Selby Methodist Church at the crossroads in Selby Village, opposite the Selby Glen Hotel. They'll be open each race day, starting with the first race day next Saturday, the 23rd, and they'll start to serve about 30 minutes before the roads close. And the Jerby Mice are back in their usual home, Jerby Parish Church, and judging by visitors' comments, are proving as popular as ever. Visit them in Jerby Parish Church during Manx Grand Prix. That's the 18th to the 29th of August, and you can enjoy tea and cakes when you've looked at the mice. The church is open every day from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and the Jerby Mice exhibition closes on Sunday, the 28th of September. And finally, looking forward to next Sunday, the 24th, there's another bilingual Manx and English service in Ballabeg Methodist Chapel. That's next Sunday evening at 6:30. This one will be contemplative in style and the theme will be Where Heaven Meets Earth. Reverend Dr. Janet Corlett will lead it, and it'll be followed by refreshments with, as always, a warm welcome for everyone. And that's all that we have time for now, but I'll be back tonight at 9 o'clock with Sundown, your invitation to join me in our virtual lounge for late-night listening with your requests and dedications. And I'd love you to join me if you can. And so, until whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening, and I wish you and those you love a blessed and peaceful week and a very good morning.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.